Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
And the winner is the Book of Mormon!
I think the night would be a big disappointment if we didn't thank our co-writer who passed away, Mr. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon religion. He couldn't be here tonight, but you did it, Joseph. You got the Tony.
I'm someone who believes that you approach issues using faith and reason. And if your faith is pure and your reason is right, they'll end up in the same place.
It's very hard to avoid giving youth the impression that if their pastor is the junior varsity shepherd, that they aren't somehow the junior varsity sheep.
Hi, this is Derek from Stewart, Nebraska. When I hiked in the Marin County Headlands and overlooked the Golden Gate Bridge, I was listening to Issues Etc.
Boy, I had a moment of this. I think it was just yesterday, the day before yesterday. I was listening to Focus on the Family, very famous radio program. They had a message for fathers, obviously going into Father's Day weekend. They were going in, and the message was very motivational. It was very inspirational. It was all about being a good father. It was about what it meant to be a father. And when they got to the part about spending time with your kids, the guilt set in. Now, I will say that the speaker said from the outset he was not trying to make the fathers gathered there for this address that they were playing on the radio feel guilty. He was simply showing them, he says, evidence that that fathers and their children can reconnect with one another. But the law did its job, because I don't spend enough time with my kids. And if measured only by that, and that is a very important measure, I'm a rotten father. Now, I don't think my kids would say that, but when the law speaks clearly, it speaks clearly. There's no denying it. So what's a father to do, especially as Father's Day approaches? And if you, I don't care if you measure it by time or any other way you measure it, none of us are going to measure up to what we know a true father, especially your heavenly father, is to us as earthly fathers. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, the 17th of July. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Remember that Facebook fan page, the phone number, and the email address, because in a little bit over a half hour, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week with you. 4 Issues Etc. soundbites. We'll play them. You listen, then you vote for Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-6943. talkback@issuesetc.org. Or our Facebook fan page. You can vote in advance there, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Kevin Votes is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Dakota Dunes, South Dakota, and author of a Bible study in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled 5 Fatherhood Examples. Kevin, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Great to be with you again.
Can we be the kind of father that our Heavenly Father is and never fails to be for us?
Well, as you were saying in your introduction, because of the fall into sin, all earthly fathers fall short of what we should be. And that's really where we have to begin, is confessing that because of our sins, we fall short. I think sometimes that causes people to have difficulty with seeing God as our Heavenly Father, because they see God in the image of their imperfect fathers that may have been neglectful, unloving, unforgiving, cold, unkind, even abusive. I remember I had a member once who told me, "Pastor, I just can't pray Our Father who art in heaven because my own father abused me." And so I think what we really need to do is instead hold up for fathers here on earth the example of our Heavenly Father and learn from the example of His perfect love.
We really can only call God Father through Jesus Christ. And so is that the basis of our conversation here, that we're talking about a Christian understanding of God the Father rather than simply God Creator?
Yeah, absolutely. We are all God's children because He has created us, but because of the fall into sin, we've forfeited that right to be His children. And it's only through Christ that we are adopted again into the family of God.
Well, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Pastor Kevin Vogts on this Friday afternoon. God is, He promises to be Father to all, but there are special promises made to those who are His children by faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to explore those many promises and the way that God is Father to us. It is not only instructive, it is also tremendously comforting for me as a father to know that when I fall short, and I often do, where I fall short, God, my children's Heavenly Father, never, ever does. As I've often taken comfort as a parent over now over almost 20 years, God, my Heavenly Father, loves my children even more than I do. He desires to protect and preserve and care for them even more than I do. He better, because I'm not up to the job. We'll be right back. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Independent and in the black for 2 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Better yet, a really good drama team is going to come out and do their message in the form of a dramatization, something that will really, really wrench at the heart or get you thinking.
We get our 12-ness as the church, not by being different from anyone else or setting ourselves apart, but that He has set us apart. He's washed our sins away.
If teaching against a sexual behavior caused people to assault those who are engaged in that behavior, we would see acts of violence against many different populations, not just the homosexual population, and we don't.
I think the night would be a big disappointment if we didn't thank our co-writer who passed away, Mr. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon religion. He couldn't be here tonight, but you did it, Joseph. You got the Tony.
In about 15 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Just a taste there of the four soundbites we're ready to play for you. And then you get ready to listen and vote for Soundbite of the Week. Again, in about 15 minutes here on Issues Etc. Pastor Kevin Votes is our guest. He is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Dakota Dunes, South Dakota, and author of a Bible study in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Five Fatherhood Examples. Where would you go, Pastor Votes, first in Scripture to find how Scripture reveals God as Father to us?
Well, passage I really like is 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. It's not something that might be, not something that could be, but we are adopted, born again as God's children through Christ in holy baptism. So that's where I really like to start, is because of God's love lavished on us through baptism in Christ, we are made his children again.
One place that people are fond of looking for the picture of God as Father, and it's a pretty obvious one, is Luke 15 and the parable of the prodigal son. What's there, Pastor Votes?
Well, obviously, in that parable, God the Father is represented by the father in the parable, the rebellious son who leaves home and squanders his inheritance, is us who have turned away from God, squandered our inheritance, our spiritual inheritance as his children by our sin. And then the beauty of the parable is how the father welcomes the son back again into his home, in the same way God has welcomed us back into his family through holy baptism. So it's really a beautiful, beautiful image of how our heavenly father shows his love towards us and how we are to show love in our lives towards our children.
Now, there is, it seems to be assumed in most of the Bible that we're dealing with God, who is this careful and loving father. Lest we make it sound too syrupy sweet, God is also presented in Scripture as one who, out of love, will often administer discipline. What should we know of Scripture's teaching here?
Well, Proverbs chapter 3, the Lord disciplines those he loves, just as a father disciplines the son he delights in. And if you've ever known a child who was not disciplined by their parents, by their father, you know that's not really a form of love. That's really a form of child abuse in a way, to have a child grow up without discipline. The important distinction is to make, and Hebrews 12 makes this distinction, between discipline and punishment. It's not a punishment out of wrath, but it's a discipline out of love for our good, is what Hebrews chapter 12 really stresses.
Very often, the example that Jesus gives when he likens God to earthly fathers is an example from the lesser. That is, we earthly, he would even say at times, fathers, you being evil, will do fatherly things for their children, always to point us to how God, our heavenly Father, never neglects to do these things, always does far more than we expect. And he connects it to prayer, especially in the Lord's Prayer. Talk about addressing God as our Father.
Well, and Luther talks in Small Catechism of what a privilege and honor we have, being born again as God's children through baptism in Christ, to approach God with boldness and confidence, Luther says, as our Heavenly Father. So that's a special privilege that we as Christians have, to approach God as our Heavenly Father. It's often said that, you know, all religions believe in God the Father or worship the same God the Father, but that's not true at all. As a matter of fact, Muslims, for example, would strongly reject the identification as God of God as Father. They object and reject that. So that's a special, unique privilege we have, to approach God in that way, as a father approaches, as a child approaches his father.
And if we look especially at the Old Testament, many of the narratives there, Pastor Votes, present the earthly fathers there in far less than flattering light. In fact, I doubt there's any ideal father in there. What should we know from the negative, the many negative examples that we find in Scripture of earthly fathers.
And a real good example I used in my article was Isaac, and Genesis says, Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob, that they showed favoritism between their children. And if you read Genesis chapters 25 through 28, you have all of the negative consequences that result in their family because of that favoritism that they've shown. But then the New Testament, they really stress, Peter in the book of Acts says, Acts chapter 10, I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Paul in Romans chapter 2, God does not show partiality. So again, by looking at their negative examples, their foibles and failings of the fathers in Scripture, we can get sort of a reverse image of our Heavenly Father and His perfect fatherhood.
One of the aspects of fatherhood that we resonate with, especially I think as Americans, is father as protector of both family and children. What does Scripture teach about our Heavenly Father with regard to this?
Well, there's a verse that many people probably recite with their common table prayer. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing, Psalm 145. And that really is an important part of being a father, is to be the provider, as we traditionally call the breadwinner. And God is for us the provider, our Heavenly Father, of all of our needs, all of our wants, all of our needs. And in the same way, God has called us as earthly fathers to provide for our children. Jesus, as you said, talks about that when he says, you, though you are evil, give good gifts to your children. And how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?
I think Luther is the one with the tremendous insight, and he applies it to both parents, but I think it can also be applied particularly to fathers, that if all God wanted to do in giving parents children was feed them, clothe them, in our case we'd say educate them, make good citizens of them, he really wouldn't need parents. He has a greater purpose for Christian parents and fathers, and that is to bring children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think you're right. Today we have this minimalistic sort of functionalist view of parents. And I was just in New York City earlier this week, and on the subways they're advertising for foster parents and stressing that they want gay foster parents to apply. And I think how sad that is. We have this idea, well, two mommies, two daddies, it really doesn't matter. But then on the same token, there was a big Father's Day-themed report on television about the important role that fathers have and how unique they are and how they provide things that mothers can't provide. So in all areas, and especially in the spiritual area where the father is, as Luther says in the Catechism, the head of the household when there's a father present there, to bring his children up, as you say, in the training and instruction of the Lord, that is number one. Because if your child goes through his life and ends his life healthy and well-educated and successful, but ends up not having eternal life, then really you failed as a parent. So that has to be the number one.
Isn't that really saying, in effect, that the primary job that God would assign to earthly fathers is that they, through God's word, acquaint their children with their Heavenly Father?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what Luther says right at the head of the Small Catechism, as the head of a household should teach to his children. And that definitely does come first. That comes primary at the very head of all the different callings that a father has.
That is neglected so often, and of course, speaking only of Christians, but in the unbelieving world, can we call someone a good father if that is neglected?
Well, I think you can distinguish between a good father in the civil sense. We are, from the civil sense, in the left-hand kingdom, it is a good thing when fathers are dutiful in feeding their children, raising their children. But really, what we have to do is show people that it goes beyond the left-hand kingdom. And in the right-hand kingdom, there's a far higher calling for fathers than those functionalist type of duties.
With about a minute before we take our break, what does Scripture teach us about God, the God, our Father, who forgives?
And that, again, goes back to 1 John 3:1, how great the love the Father has lavished on us that we sinners, should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And I really like to stress that because so many people think that it's a might be, it's a maybe. And it's not a might be or a maybe, it's an are through Christ.
Pastor Kevin Vogts is our guest. When we come back, of course, Father's Day is close upon us this Sunday. I'm curious, what should we expect to hear from our Christian preachers, our spiritual fathers, on Father's Day? What kind of a message from the pulpit on Sunday morning should we expect if we understand God as our Heavenly Father, ourselves as fallen, weak, and inept fathers, that word of forgiveness for fathers and for children? What should we expect from the pulpit on Father's Day? We'll get Pastor Kevin Vogts' answer to that after this.
When I look in the mirror, he's right there in my eyes, staring back at me, and I realize the older I get, the more I can see how much he loved my mother and my brother and me, and he did the best that he could, and I only hope when I have my...
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Whether you are just starting or have played your entire life, Oak Brook Golf Club in Edwardsville is your home for golf. Our 27-hole layout, fair prices, and award-winning staff, and ever-improving course conditions make your decision easy. We have always been family-owned at Oak Brook, and golf is our business. Our PGA staff offers leagues, instruction, camps, a senior scramble, and our family special where kids play free. Oak Brook Golf Club, 618-656-5600, or oakbrookgc.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Fathers, the forgotten victims of abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Abortion has many victims, and one of them is the father of the unborn baby. As we celebrate and honor fathers on Father's Day this month, it's important to remember that current laws do not allow a father to stop the abortion of his own child. Fathers can find themselves in a no-win situation. Those who attempt to defend their unborn child can be portrayed as meddling and robbing a woman of her rights. Those who leave the decision to the mother with little or no input are called uncaring and irresponsible.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about God, our Father, and fatherhood. It's Friday, June the 17th. Pastor Kevin Vogts is our guest in about 5 minutes. Get ready for Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. What should we be expecting to hear from a faithful Christian preacher from the pulpit on this Father's Day, Pastor Vogts?
Well, really, every Sunday we should expect to hear law and gospel. And on holidays such as Mother's Day, Father's Day, sadly, even in some Lutheran pulpits, Missouri Synod pulpits, you hear a lot of law, but without the gospel. And that really has no effect, because without the gospel, we don't have the power to carry out the law. So the law, the sting of the law by itself just beats us down. And so we really need to hear the law that we as fathers are sinful, and the gospel that our Heavenly Father has lavished his love on us in Christ. And when we do fail as fathers, that he lavishes his forgiveness on us.
Before I let you go, Pastor Vogts, I understand you're out east right now, but it's going to be a little difficult for you to return to South Dakota to your home in Dakota Dunes, because I understand the Missouri River has actually cut off access to home for you, hasn't it?
Yes, due to very heavy rains and the management by the Corps of Engineers of the dams along the river, our entire community of Dakota Dunes, South Dakota, is threatened with being literally wiped off the map. That little tip of South Dakota where we are, I guess, would just disappear. Now, thankfully, they've built levees, emergency levees, and it looks like they're holding so far, but they expect the waters to be at the 500-year flood stage level for 2 months straight. And if the levees break, my house is in the 4 to 8 foot flood zone, and our church is in the 2 to 4 foot flood zone. So about 70% of our members have moved out of their homes. I've moved completely out of my home within about 48 hours. You pack everything and move it all out into storage. Our church is completely empty. We built a beautiful new church a couple years ago. Everything's gone, the pews, everything. And so it's really been a surprise disruption of our summer.
Real quickly, when do you expect to be able to return, and God willing, if the levees hold?
Well, the Corps of Engineers is saying about the 1st of September.
Oh, man.
So temporarily we're holding. Actually, you may know Pastor Mike Cumb, the congregation he grew up in, Concordia Lutheran in Sioux City, Iowa. Temporarily we're holding joint services with them through the duration of the event. But probably will not be able to return to our homes, to our church, till around the 1st of September. So we're hoping August 14th, because that's the 25th anniversary of my ordination, and Pastor Matt Harrison is coming to preach for that event. So we hope we can be back into our church at that point. That'd be great. But if not, we'll have to hold that at Concordia also.
Well, you and your family, your congregation there at Dakota Dunes, definitely in our prayers, and I hope that you get back in your home and the congregation into its home there in Dakota Dunes as quickly as possible. Thanks for being our guest, Pastor Votes.
Thank you.
Pastor Kevin Votes is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Dakota Dunes, South Dakota, author of a Bible study in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Five Fatherhood Examples. You can read this Bible study under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org.